Hello and good afternoon. How are you? It's me, Rona Coughlin, Rona Coughlin with you as always every Tuesday. Depending on where you come from in the country, of course, my pronunciation or name does change. It's lovely to be in your company as always. It is Tuesday. It's 3:30 and you know what that means. Great conversation, great music and lots of interesting topics as well. As always, you can always contact the show and get in contact with us and let us know your thoughts and opinions. I'm in a funny position today. I'm at the opposite side of the desk, which is slightly throwing me off ever so slightly. And Paul is driving the desk for me today, my partner in crime. And no doubt it's going to be very interesting hour of adventure and interesting topics. Of course, loads of great guests coming up in the programme today. We've got Paul Ryan from the Irish Wheelchair Association and he's the Sports Development Officer for the IWA. He's going to be talking to me in a matter of moments about why sport is very, very important for women to be getting involved with and why what the benefit is of it and how you can get involved. And of course, the other guest that's going to be on the programme is going to be a lady of in very, very interesting means indeed. Her name is Claire Kelly and she is the Research and Information Officer for MDI, Muscular Dystrophy Ireland, and she's going to be joining me a little later on in the programme. Joining me now on the phone, we have Paul Ryan, who's the Disability Sports Development Officer for the Irish Wheelchair Association. Hi Paul, how are you doing?
Good, Rona. How are you?
Good. Are you in a safe spot to talk?
I'm absolutely. I'm looking over Galway Bay here, so it's pretty spectacular where I am right now.
How beautiful. And you're in Galway and I'm in Dublin. Don't you just love technology? It's great, isn't it?
There you go. Fantastic.
Two Corkonians chatting in Cork and Dublin. Or in Galway and Dublin. This is very good indeed. It's very exciting what's going to happen for the ladies in the area of sport in the next coming days. Tell me about the event for ladies around sport.
So it's a Girls Aloud programme that we're running. I suppose it's kind of culminating on this day of the 29th of November. But it's been a programme that we've been developing over the last couple of years. Essentially, we're just promoting the involvement of female athletes or females in sport. And of course, we're targeting people with disabilities, with females with disabilities, as opposed to in the mainstream. And I suppose we're targeting it because There's a shortfall.
What is the percentage, Paul? I mean, when you say there's a shortfall, how much of a shortfall is there?
Well, I suppose if I give you we have a mixed national team in wheelchair basketball, and we have 16 on that national team, and in the 16 we have one girl.
Right.
And there's no particular reason for that, other than that. That'll kind of give you an idea of the percentages right down through the leagues. I think we have 130 athletes playing National League basketball, which is pretty significant, and we're pretty proud of it.
That's brilliant.
And with the numbers of those that are girls are, hopefully without insulting anyone, I think we certainly have no more than a dozen.
Right. Okay, that is a huge difference. Why do you think that is happening, Paul?
You know what? I suppose I don't particularly know, because if you look at mainstream sports, some of our most successful athletes throughout the history of sports have been girls, and traditionally the Irish women have done very, very well in sports. And we've also had fantastic role models in the disabled world. Patrice Dockery, who has been, you know, a phenomenal athlete for, I think, has Patrice done something like 6, maybe 7 Paralympics. You know, so we've had these incredibly successful athletes, role models out there. But look, I suppose the bottom line is girls are less involved in sports than guys. Is it that they feel that it's not for them? Well, maybe that is it. But I suppose we're here to tell them that it absolutely is for you. I suppose there's a definite need for people to take, especially in the disabled world, there's a need for people to take care of themselves and be involved in sports. Because it develops independence, and lifelong sports is something that all governing bodies aim for, lifelong involvement in sports, and we'd love to have our junior kids who, you know, to grow up to be as good as they can be, but also to be involved. Sports is a great social outlet.
It's, Do you know what? As a female who has been heavily involved in disabled sports for, gosh, many, many years, throughout the years, I mean, teaching kids myself, God, a very, very long time ago, almost seems like a lifetime ago now, to competing competitively myself, and then to develop into the area of dance, which I genuinely feel is a sport as well as an art. It's a vital thing for women to be doing who have disabilities. There's so many, I mean, for any woman to be doing, for any person to be doing any sport is always a good thing. But I think it's very, very important for people with disabilities to be getting involved in sport, because you want to be healthy, you want to be well, and you want to be quite athletically fit. And so as you're moving throughout your life, then the healthier you are, obviously, the better you are as it goes.
Absolutely. The simpler your life becomes, it's easier to move. And I suppose it's also true in the mainstream, from mainstream community. But being fit and being healthy is, well, I suppose it's the way forward. But, but you know, you have less visits with your doctor, less problems medically.
And if you're a wheelchair user, you have to be very, very practical. I mean, one has to be light enough to be able to lift themselves. I mean, I'm a wheelchair user myself, and I have to be light enough to be able to lift myself and transfer myself from my car or from a chair onto another chair or whatever it needs to be. But you have to be able to have that ability to be able to move yourself quite easily. And sport is definitely the way to stay healthy and fit around that area.
It is. And the thing is, if you can't do that, it impacts on your independence.
Absolutely.
which is actually sad enough, because we all want independence, is what we want for everybody, really, you know.
Well, listen, that's the root of everything. I mean, it's the root of the root and the bud of the bud. I mean, one has to be as independent as they possibly can be throughout their life, and you know, the core of that really is your health and your well-being, plus the fact it's just good old-fashioned fun. Now, on the 29th,
absolutely,
there's going to be lots of different sports and come and try out. What's going to be available on the day?
I suppose the main thing is the wheelchair basketball program that will happen. We're having a girls-only all-star wheelchair basketball game.
Excellent.
So we've got some really, really good girls playing basketball around the country. So it'll be great to see them and to see the level of competition and the level of skill, because there's no shortage of that with them, you know. Some of our better players in the league are girls, and we have another development after my colleague in the Midlands who's played able-bodied world championships as well as in the deaf world championships. Orla Dempsey is the name. She'll be playing on the day, hopefully.
Right.
Like this is the kind of caliber that, you know. So this girl has been playing able-bodied international basketball, and she'll be there. You know, we have Aisling Duig from Limerick who's coming in, and she's on the national squad at the moment, which is, you know, brilliant achievement for her.
Excellent.
And she's only 18 years of age, doing her leaving as well this year. So you'll get to see all these guys on show, and I suppose we don't just want, it isn't all about basketball, because basketball isn't for everyone, but it's like there's a range of sports out there that people can get involved in,
such as
another big one for us is athletics. We're out of the athletic season right at the moment, but we still run national programs in track, where we have we have another really exciting kid coming from Galway at the moment, Shauna Bouquet is her name. She's only 11, I think.
Wow.
She's already doing half marathons. And
wow.
Absolutely. This girl is going to, and she's also playing wheelchair basketball as well. But she's pretty incredible. But we have this program running, and we have a lot of girls taking part in that. We have the field events will start a little later on in the year. So we'll have our shot, discus, javelin.
Paul,
we also have hand cycling. Sorry.
Paul, I'll bounce back to the hand cycling in a minute, because that is something that is always of interest to me. But if you're an older lady and you want to get involved with sport, and it's been a while, and you know you're not 18 anymore, and let's say you're in your 30s or maybe late 30s, maybe coming into your 40s, is there possibilities and openings there for people who are slightly of the older age rather than the 18-year-old bracket?
Yeah, you're obviously talking about someone else, Ronnie, yeah?
No, I'm not talking about myself at all.
there is no limitations. I suppose, you know, I suppose my own sport was sailing. I retired from sailing in 2008. And I that's when I took up wheelchair basketball. You know, so like there was no limitations on me getting involved. So there are no limitations. And you know what, once you, I suppose with all sports, once you put the work in, You get back then what you put in.
The reason why I'm asking that is because sometimes people might be of the opinion that sport is for somebody who's much younger than they are, and that if you kind of don't get in at a young age, well, you've kind of missed the boat and missed your opportunity. And I suppose I'm just trying to dispel that myth, really, that people might have listening to us, you know.
You know, the world is changing a lot. I read an article recently about a 73-year-old Canadian who did a marathon in under 3 hours, which is like, so lifelong sport is what we're looking at. And you know what? You don't, maybe when you start at 50, you're not going to be the best at that sport. But listen, who cares? If you enjoy it, that's what it's all about. And if you're involved, and if you're healthier because of that, and if you're more independent because of that, and you have a greater circle of friends because of that, how valuable is that?
It's invaluable. It's completely invaluable. Yeah. And I suppose the other thing is to also let people know that it doesn't have to be, and you touched nicely upon that yourself already, that it doesn't have to be competitive. You don't have to be competing and going to the Paralympics or the Commonwealth Games or anything. You can just be doing it for the love of doing it, and for all those reasons that you said of, you know, meeting people and getting out and about and getting healthier and just for the love of the sport.
Absolutely. And you know, I spoke about this earlier, and sport isn't always about the sport that you play. Mm. Sports is traditionally, it's about who you play it with, and the interaction you have with other people, the skills you learn, and their life skills more than just sporting skills.
Absolutely.
And that's hugely important. And listen, I wouldn't put a limit on it. If somebody wants to get out, and if they want to go out and push for a kilometre, if they want to push for 60 kilometres, you know what? If they hadn't been doing that yesterday, well, then that's a good day's work. And we do these things in little steps, you know. And sometimes, you know, like, everyone can't be a supreme athlete. The percentage of supreme athletes in the world is tiny.
Yeah.
It's something like 0.6% of the world population become a high level athlete.
Absolutely. So, and I think you're right. I just think people need to be getting involved for the love of it. And if there's a couple of ladies that are listening at the moment and they're interested in getting involved in this day on the 29th, can you give me some more detail about it, and who can they contact if they want more information?
I suppose the email address is nikki.hamill@iwa.ie. So that's N-I-K-Y. I've gone better check that. Nikki.hamill@iwa.ie.
Okay.
I suppose my own email address is paul.ryan@iwa.ie. Mm-hmm. I'll send on any information that you want about it. It kicks off at 1 o'clock on the 29th, and you'll be chatting with athletes but athletes and people that are, sometimes when you say the word athlete, it makes it seem like it's a very high level. But
that's true.
You know, I suppose that's what they're considered. And you know, it can be a very casual day, refreshments there in the day, and it'll be just, you know, maybe if you aren't sure how you go about getting involved, this is the way that you will. Just coming down and you know, having a chat. It's going to be in the IWA Centre in Clontarf, in Blackheath Drive. And you know what? It doesn't have to be basketball. It can be any sport. It can be hand cycling, like we've spoken about. It can be track and field. It can be anything. It can be sailing, is my own sport. We've sailing programs running in Dublin, running in Cork, running in Galway. You know, so there's a lot of sports out there. And there's also unorganized sports, which is stuff, just going out for a walk or just going out, just, you know, all that is good as well, you know.
I think you've hit the nail on the head there, Paul. I mean, there is something there that's going to suit everybody, whether it's the hand cycling or the field events, or maybe just getting out and about walking and the unorganised things and just getting a group together, or maybe it's the basketball, or maybe it's sailing. But there is something there for everybody. So it's important to get out there on the day to Clontarf on the 29th. Just find out more information about it and meet people and meet like-minded people who, again, might be on the same level as you. Maybe they're starting back into sport again, or they're starting it for the first time, or they're starting a new sport. But you know what? If you don't try it, you don't know. And I suppose it's worth it on the day. As you say, it's starting at 10, is it? 10 to 1.
It's starting at 1. Starting at 1.
Oh, start, sorry, apologies. It's starting at 1 and it's on out in Clontarf.
out in the IWA Centre in Blackheath Drive in Clontarf.
Actually, it's probably just as well. It's starting at lunchtime. It gives people a chance to get out there rather than starting too early in the day. So starting from 1 o'clock out in Clontarf, and there'll be refreshments on the day as well, as you say, and lots of different information. And of course, people can email you, of course, if they need more
info. Absolutely, email me and I'll send down the brochures. And you know what? It's going to be a relatively casual day, and that's good. You know, so there won't be any pressure on anyone to do anything. Mm. You know, come out and have a look. You know what? It is about just giving it a shot. You know, giving it a shot, and you feel so much better for having done that and for having actually gotten yourself back involved and stuff. So it's certainly worth it, you know.
Well, it's very important to have more women in sport. I mean, women just rule, generally speaking. So I don't know why we wouldn't be ruling in sport also. And we need to be giving the gentlemen a bit of run for their money. So I think any girls that are out there who have any interest in sport or may potentially like one of the topics that we've been talking about, the different sports that we've been discussing, do go out on the 29th. I promise you won't be disappointed. You're going to be there yourself, Paul, on the day?
Unfortunately, I'm not.
Aren't you?
I'm not. I'm going to be at home in the capital of...
I will be there on the day, so I'm planning to attend myself, so at least people when they pop out, they can say hey to me as well. And of course Nicky will be there himself. So Paul, listen, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to me. Safe travels, and I will speak to you very, very soon. Thanks again.
Been my pleasure, Rona. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. And that was Paul Ryan there from IWA Sports, Sports Development Officer. And if you want more information about that, you can contact paul.ryan@iwa.ie. That's paul.ryan@iwa.ie. And you can get on to the Irish Wheelchair Association directly at their number and via their email via their website as well, of course, for any more details you want about that. Gosh, it's all Action Jackson here today in the studio. Studio here in Near FM in the beautiful city of Dublin. Yes, I am a Corkonian saying that, but it is true. I do love Dublin, and it's always been very, very good to me. And you are listening to Near FM. Of course, if you want to get involved with the programme, you can do so on 0876944500. That's 0876944500 if you want to send in a text. Of course, Alison is with me in studio. Hello, Alison.
Hi there, Rona. How are you this afternoon?
How are you doing?
I'm super. Thank you very much.
Isn't that very exciting about Paul Ryan and the sports for women? It's going to be a good day, don't you think?
Sounds like it should be plain sailing, all right.
Brum-bum. I'm definitely going to be attending on the day. Will you be attending?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. It sounds really interesting.
Yeah, I think, to know something, I think it's very, very important for ladies and for men, for everybody really, to be getting involved in sport, especially if you have a disability, because, you know, you need to be nice and light and supple and able to move yourself easily, because you want to be as independent as possible. And I've always found myself as a wheelchair user that it's always been vitally important that I was involved in sport, and I've always really loved it. It's good old-fashioned fun anyway. So you're going to be attending on the day, Alison?
Joining the independent women, yeah, I certainly will.
I can't understand why there aren't more women in sport, because, you know, we're just fantastic at everything, don't you think?
Yes, absolutely.
Paul is sitting here with us in the studio just going, yeah, right, dream on, ladies.
That's called jealousy. It's okay.
Just can't be a girl. And girl in sport. We have got a great lady on the line with us from MDI. This is Claire Kelly, and she's the Research and Information Officer for MDI. Hi, Claire.
Hi, Rona, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm great.
It's nice to be talking to you this afternoon. Thank you for taking the time to talk to me. So, your role is Research and Information Officer for Muscular Dystrophy Ireland. Tell me a little bit about your role and what it entails.
Okay. I suppose it's a very, very varied role. My main role will be managing the information service that we have here at MDI. Mm. We have an information library and a kind of a display area in our head office. Mm. We have information on everything from entitlements, policy, neuromuscular conditions, MDI services, various different aids and adaptations. So we have plenty of information here. So that would be the main part of my role. After that, I also take queries on pretty much anything that people want to ask me.
Is it very varied, the different types of questions and information you're asked for, Claire?
Oh, definitely, yeah. I suppose our biggest area would be new diagnoses. When people would come to us and, you know, they've just been diagnosed and they don't really know what to do. Mm. So that would be the main area.
So, Claire, when somebody is diagnosed, explain that process and how you support them around that.
Okay, well, the main thing to do, I suppose, for us is not to bombard someone with information. Mm. The first thing a lot of people do is just go on Google and they find out huge amounts of information and they can't really process it. So what we try to do is condense it a little bit and give them just exactly the type of information they need, where to go to next, what to expect, things like that. Mm. We'd give them information on what they're entitled to. And a little bit about the condition itself.
And for anybody who's listening at the moment who doesn't really know anything about the condition, can you give me a very, very brief synopsis of what it is?
Sure. It's actually, muscular dystrophy is actually a collective term for a number of neuromuscular conditions. But they all have basically progressive weakening and wasting of the muscles.
Mm. And so once people find out that information, as you say, you don't want to be bombarding them with more information and you want them to be correctly informed. What advice and where do you send them after you've spoken to them?
Okay, well, what we would usually do is send them out an information pack and allow them to have the time to read through it themselves and then come back to us if they have any other queries. And we'd also direct them to the correct neuromuscular clinic, or it generally would depend on the person's diagnosis. Really, it would be different for each person.
Yeah, because it's not a one size fits all. Of course, your other role in the organisation is you go out and give talks to schools and colleges. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, exactly. We're also proactive about giving information as well as reactive. So I would go about to colleges, to schools. If there's a child that has muscular dystrophy, we'd go out and talk to the teachers, the SNAs, and we'd give them information about the child's condition just so that they know what to expect, or some hints and tips on how to deal with it. And then the same with the colleges. So I've spoken to nursing students, physiotherapy, anybody who might come in contact with somebody with muscular dystrophy.
Right. And so how is that received by people that you go into support? I mean, what's kind of the general feeling that you get after you speak to these different groups?
Well, it's quite surprising that a lot of people have actually never heard of muscular dystrophy.
Mm-hmm.
So most people are quite interested in finding out a little bit more about it.
Mm.
So I think, well, I'd like to think that my talks have been fairly well received, hopefully.
Well, I'm
sometimes
sure
you get a lot of questions, sometimes you don't, you know.
Okay, now you see you're opening me up to more questions. What kind of questions do you receive? I'm just totally curious now.
Well, I mean, again, because it's there are so many different, I mean, there's over 100 different types of muscular dystrophy.
Mm.
So people would ask questions like, you know, what are the symptoms? How does it begin? And you can't answer that question because it's different for everybody, you know?
Yeah, as you say, it's not a one-size-fits-all kind of area, really.
It's
very specific to different people. Of course, MDI does amazing work, and as you've just highlighted some of the information, and, you know, that you're very reactive and very informative around giving information to people and pretty much being an open book where your support services are and the information and supports that you can provide. What are you up to at the moment? I mean, there's up and coming events with MDI always seems to be doing an awful lot. So what's the current status? What are you doing at the moment?
We try to be fairly active. What we've got, I suppose, the main event coming up for us at the moment is our national Christmas appeal, which will be on the 12th of December. So we'll be out collecting, fundraising out in Tesco's all over the country.
Nice.
We're actually really looking for volunteers as well. If any of your listeners might be interested, log on to our website and register.
Okay, so if people do want to get involved and they want, or they know somebody who has the condition, or they want to be involved just because they want to get involved, they can log on to the website. And you say that there is an application form?
Exactly, yeah. If they log onto the website, it's mdi.ie, mm-hmm. and we have a form there where people can just click whatever store or whatever area of the country they're interested in helping out, and just register their details, and we'll get back to them on that.
I know that you are meant to be running an event in the next coming days on the 20th, a kind of a mix and mingler kind of dating idea, or, you know, just get out and about, meet people, and that has been postponed for the date. I'm just saying that because in case somebody who's listening was thinking about going along, because I was speaking about it a couple of weeks ago, but it has been postponed to another time and another date.
Yeah, that's true. And we were looking to organise a single mingle or a social event for people with disabilities and without disabilities. Unfortunately, we have had to postpone that, but we're hoping to rearrange something in January, something quite informal, I suppose, just a bit of a social event.
Excellent. So that will be something to look forward to for the new year, should I say. But do you know what I always really enjoy about and find very fascinating and really great about Muscular Dystrophy Ireland is I really like your venue there, you know, your house that people can stay if they're, you know, coming up overnight and they may be going to a doctor's appointment or hospital appointment, or they might be going to a gig, or, you know, they might be going on holidays or something. And that your venue out in Chapel Lizard is an incredible and one of a kind in Ireland. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's actually a really, really good resource that we have here in Chapel Lizard. It's a fully accessible self-catering apartment, and it's based above our offices here, but people can rent it out for a night or for a week. They can come on holidays, or if they have an appointment or, like you said, a concert or something like that, they can come. And it's completely designed basically for accessibility.
Yeah, it really was designed with accessibility in mind. I mean, I've stayed there numerous times now. I think I'm kind of like part of the furniture at this point. And it's amazing. It's incredible. I mean, it really is quite universal in its design and really encompasses everybody and takes care of everybody that's staying in the house, whether you have a disability or not, with different levels of countertops and that ones that go up and down and different things. And it really is genuinely a home away from home. And it's not very, very expensive to stay there at all. It's 25 euros a night to stay, if you want to book it, it's quite easy to do, so you just have to contact yourselves. It gets quite busy in the summertime though.
It can, yeah. It's quite popular. We do have people that would come back often once they come to stay. They tend to come back, so it can be busy in the summer, so you'd have to book a good bin in advance, which, you know, well, it's a good thing that it's been used, really.
It's fantastic. It's wonderful that it's being used, but you do have to book it in advance. So you've got great things coming up. So you've got your volunteer day that's in conjunction with Tesco's, and you're looking for volunteers for that, and of course your mix and mingler slightly informal event that's happening in January. And it's always great to know what MDI is up to. I like to keep an eye on you from time to time and make sure that you're up to good things. And to be fair to you, you always are. What's happening for you now next in your line of work, Claire?
For me, what's happening for me is a lot of focus on the research. There's a huge amount going on in terms of developing new treatments for muscular dystrophy. So that's sort of where my interest lies. And I'd be keeping up to date with that and attending various conferences and events just to keep up to date with what's going on in the medical community as well.
And has there been any interesting or really important breakthroughs or interesting research that has happened of late?
Well, in August we had the first ever treatment for Duchenne muscular dystrophy received conditional marketing approval in Europe. So that's quite exciting.
That is exciting.
And there are a lot of other things coming following in the pipeline as well. So I'd say watch this space in terms of that.
Well, that's wonderful news, because if that's coming on board and you say there are other things following down the pipeline, that's very, very interesting to see how things are going to change and develop and improve for people who've got muscular dystrophy. Claire, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to me. I have absolutely no doubt in my mind that you and I will be speaking on some other programme at some other point
about more
updates around research around around muscular dystrophy. And well done to everybody there, because you always do a fantastic job. And good luck with your Tesco fundraiser day as well. And so if people want to get involved with that, they can just log on to your website or give you a call directly. What's the number if they want to contact you directly, Claire?
They can contact us on 623-6414.
Okay, 623-6414. And that's fantastic, Claire. Thank you very much for taking the... Yeah?
Or just info@mdi.ie
as well. That's brilliant. Claire, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to me. It's been a pleasure as always.
Brilliant.
And I'll speak to you very, very soon.
Okay. Thanks, Lillian.
Thanks, Claire.
Bye.
Take care. Bye. And that was Clara Kelly there, Research and Information Officer for MDI. Lovely lady indeed. Quite new to the role in the last 6 months, and I can guarantee she's going to be and already is a wonderful asset to MDI as well. Well done to her. And watch this space, as she said, around the research. And Alison, of course, it's very exciting to hear about developments happening around muscular dystrophy, don't you think?
Absolutely. It's great to hear about developments in any area, and it's great to see that there's such great facilities available for people.
It is. Have you ever stayed in their facility out in Chapel Izzard?
I haven't. This is the first I've heard of it.
It's absolutely fantastic. Now, I know that you're living a little bit outside Dublin yourself, outside the outskirts, shall we say. But it's a nice venue to stay in if you wanted to come in and go to a concert, or you wanted to go to a gig or something. It's a great spot to stay, and it's not expensive, and it's very, very handy with the bus routes as well, so I can't recommend it highly enough. Alison, isn't Paul the best?
He's marvellous.
Anyway, that is Alison there with me here in the studio as always, and that was Florence in the Machine. Of course, if you want to get in contact with the programme, you can do so on 0876944500. That's 0876944500. I can never be accused as a radio presenter of saying the phone number too fast or not enough, because sometimes that happens, especially with competitions, which is never very, very good, or if people want their opinions to be heard, which of course we always do. We always want your opinions to be heard, because it's your show, your programme. It's about what you want and what you want to hear about. Is there something that you want to hear about in a future programme? Is there a topic you'd like us to cover that maybe we haven't covered, or we haven't covered for a while, or is something that's of particular interest to you? Do get in contact, as I say, 0876944500. That what we were just talking about there, Alison, just before we went to Florence and the Machine with Claire Kelly out in the MDI space out in Chapel Izzard. Fantastic venue, very, very good indeed. And it's nice to know that they're having events that are up and coming in January. Kind of mixer mingler things, which is kind of exciting, isn't it?
Yes, because we all have interests.
Yeah, do you know something? I think it would be nice. New Year's resolutions. Nice to have a little bit of potential romance buzzing around the place would be very, very nice. And you know what? It's just nice for people to be getting out and about and meeting new people as well. So looking forward to that event in January. In the meantime, if you do want to get involved with their volunteer day, you can get on to MDI directly and they'll give you any information you need to know about that. Because you know what? It's always great to volunteer. Alison, are you enjoying your second week?
I am. It's great. I'm getting more involved here.
And more used to it.
Getting my hands a little bit dirty this week.
That's exactly what I like to see, getting your hands dirty. It's very strange swapping sides with you and me sitting on this side of the desk. For anybody who's listening to me at the moment at home going, what is she talking about? I'm not sitting in front of the mixing desk, which is very peculiar for me, because I naturally like to play with buttons and knobs and things, and my hands just don't know what to do with themselves. Of course, my mouth always knows what to do because it just keeps talking, but my poor hands are just kind of going, what are we meant to be doing? Because we have no buttons to press. And you know what? That's what you've been doing. How's it been going? Enjoying it?
Absolutely. Poor Rona's just waving her hands around here. She's at a loss. I'm learning, so...
Do you know what? It's like Freaky Friday, except it's Freaky Tuesday. Anyhow, listen, we nearly have to go here in the studio. It's been wonderful to be with you for the last hour. My thanks to Paul Ryan from IWA and, of course, to Claire Kelly from MDI as well. And Alison, thank you to you, of course, as always. And
you're most welcome, and thank you very much for having me again.
And to Paul, the chocolate eating machine that he is indeed. Thanks to Paul as well for giving tech support to us today. Of course, we'll be back with you again next Tuesday at 3:30, as always, here with you on Your FM every Tuesday at 3:30. Don't forget to get in contact with any thoughts or any opinions you have about the programme, or just to wish Alison well on her first shows. That would be very nice as well indeed. 0876944500. Of course, if you're in the neighbourhood tonight and you want to get involved with GDIL, Greater Dublin Independent Living, do come along. Starting at 7 o'clock promptly in Jury's Inn Customs House. It's going to be a very interesting evening discussing disability and politics and how you can get involved as a person with a disability. And you know what? We might even give you a cup of tea or coffee as well, because we're just that nice. Have a wonderful rest of the day. Take care, and I'll speak to you very, very soon. Take care now. Bye-bye.